Today we are going to look at the life of Ruth, the book of Ruth. And really, as I knew that I was going to be sharing on Ruth, I was reading it over and over again, and I was really struggling of how am I going to, bring this book down or this woman down into 20 minutes of what I can share with you today. So I quickly realized that I couldn't do that, so I wasn't even going to try. So I'm just going to share with you this morning something that the Lord's really been speaking to me about, and it's about what we can learn through Ruth and through the book of Ruth in relation to how God leads and directs us in our lives and in the way that we should go. So if you would pray with me, I don't know about you, does anyone have a hard time ever getting to church? I mean, everything in the world always seems to happen. And my daughter decided to stay up till 3 a.m., so I got to sleep about 3:30 and then woke up at 6, and so I barely slept, and then my son had meltdowns this morning, and I barely made it. So I don't know if you had a wonderful morning like I did. So let's pray and try and calm our hearts and minds to look at the word this morning. Lord Jesus, we come before you today. Thank you so much, Lord, for bringing each and every one of us here, no matter how hard or difficult it might have been. Lord, I pray that this morning we can put aside anything that we're thinking about for the rest of the day. Lord, I know as women, we tend to have 1,000 things on the go at once. So Lord, I pray that we would just be able to calm our hearts and minds and that we'd be able to hear what you have to share this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would just work through the message, the things that you want to share and things that you don't, Lord, that we would just have your perfect will accomplished this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you would turn with me to the book of Ruth, we're kind of going to be skipping around a little bit to try and work through it the best we can. If you haven't read Ruth in a while, I suggest that you read it. I hadn't read it for a while. It was actually one of my favorite stories as a kid. I don't know why. Maybe because she's my namesake. My mom named me after Ruth. But Ruth was a Moabite woman. She's from the country of Moab, and she married an Israelite. And the Israelite's name was Mahlon. The two children of Naomi and Elimelech were Mahlon and Chilion, or however you want to pronounce them, but I'll just do my best. So Naomi and Elimelech were Israelites that moved away from Israel and moved to the land of Moab. And that is where Mahlon ended up meeting Ruth. Now, the reason they left Israel was because there was a famine in the land. Now, famines often were a sign of God's kind of way of getting attention of his people when they had turned away from him and they had been sinful. It was a way of getting their attention to turn back to God. Now, Elimelech and Naomi, we read that they chose not to do that. They chose not to trust the Lord and not to seek the Lord and not to repent of their sin. They chose to leave the promised land of Israel and go to where they believed they could find everything that they needed, the prosperity, the food, whatever they saw, it was appealing. They went to the country of Moab. Now, Moab was a pagan nation, and it was a nation which God had forbidden Israelites to marry. They'd forbidden even to allow them into the assembly. So this wasn't really just an easy, let's just go over here and get some food. This was a direct disobedience to what God had called the Israelites to do and to be. And so they left Israel, they left God's will, if you like, and they moved to the country of Moab. Now, interestingly enough, the King James Version of the Bible tells us that they planned to sojourn in the country of Moab. That is, they planned to have just a short stay until perhaps they felt like there was enough food or whatever they needed to go back to Israel. So this was just going to be a short stay. They were just going to, sneak out of the will of God just for a little bit, just to get what they believed they need and take that into their own hands of everything that they needed. But sadly, in chapter 1 of verse 3, we read that Elimelech never made it out of the country of Moab. He died there. And so we redid his two sons that they took with them. But many times today, I think we see the exact same situation in the lives of the people of God today. We can be dissatisfied with our lives, or we can feel like it's too hard, or we or we don't want to maybe trust God in a particular area because we can't understand how it's going to work out. And so we go and try and figure it out by ourselves. And we see that this did not work out well at all. And it never will with us too. For the Lord allows things in our lives. Sometimes they're consequences of our actions, as it was for the children of Israel. They were disobeying God. This was a chastisement of God on the people of Israel so that they would turn back to him. But sometimes in our lives, we can be seeking the Lord, and the Lord allows hard things to come into our lives, difficult things that we really wish, you know, quite frankly, God would take away and bring back this time of blessing. But the Lord has a specific plan and a specific purpose for everything that he allows in our lives. I know the last few years have been one of the hardest of my husband's and mine's life with our little daughter, Ava, was born almost 3 years ago. And it's been a really, really, really long story that I don't have time to tell you. But not long ago, she was diagnosed with hypertonic cerebral palsy. And it was a huge blow to us, you can believe, and it's been a lot of therapy, doctor's appointments, tests, everything, you name it, it's been really, really hard. And I can say that there are times where I have been, Lord, why? Why would you allow this? And, you know, I can say even now, as we are still kind of in the midst of it, that God has changed my husband and I. We are different people than we were 3 years ago. Ava is the most delightful blessing you could ever imagine, and he's doing things in and through her, and I know that we have not seen the most of that yet, and so we need to trust God. We need to hang in there when we're in those difficult times of trials, looking to God and not do what Elimelech did, and he left to what he thought was going to be better. He thought it was going to be this better life for his family, but when we go outside of God's will, it's only going to bring destruction. He went to go and find life, and he only ended up with death. Now, Ruth, however, who we're going to look at this morning, is a complete opposite example of what Elimelech and Naomi chose to do during hard times. Now, Ruth was, as we've said, Elimelech and Naomi's daughter-in-law. She was married to their son, Mahlon, and another Moabite woman, Orpah, married their other son, Chilion. After 10 years, we're told that the two sons died, and neither Naomi or neither Ruth nor Orpah had children. So there were these three widows, Naomi with her two daughter-in-laws. And Naomi had heard that the Lord had visited his people again and given them food, and the famine was over, and they were blessed with an abundance of food, as the Lord always visits his people. And so Naomi decided she was going to go back to the land of Israel, the land of Judah. And so she set off with her two daughter-in-laws. And as they were on their way, we're told that Naomi stopped and she told Orpah and Ruth basically what their lives were going to look like if they came to Israel with her. And it was a very bleak picture. And even though both of them were reluctant at first, Orpah chose to go back to Moab. But Ruth, we're told, clung to Naomi and wouldn't leave, and she stayed with Naomi. Now, in chapter 1, verse 21, if you look at it real briefly, this is what Naomi says when she arrived in Bethlehem. She said, "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty." So there she is. She arrives in Bethlehem, years later, after she had sojourned in the land of Moab, and she'd gone out full, husband, children, and she'd come back empty. And that's what happens when we wander outside of God's will. I was driving home last Friday from therapy, taking my daughter to therapy, and I was listening on the radio, and every time I drive home, it's Bob Coy's radio program, 11 o'clock. And I was listening, and I was having in mind what I was going to be sharing this morning, and one quote stood out to me, and I want to share it this morning with you, because it really applies, and it's really a good lesson for us. I quote, "The pursuit of more always ends with less outside of God's economy." You know, there's never a reason, no matter how tough things may get, whether it be financial struggles or marriage troubles or family issues, there is never a reason to jump ship and go it alone and say, forget this. God seriously doesn't look like he's got this. Nothing is working out. I'm just going to go and do it by myself. You see, Elimelech's pursuit to get more financially, more food, whatever he needs, his gain for more only ended with less, because the pursuit of God, I'll say again, always ends with less outside of God's economy. God's way is the best 100% of the time. Now look back in a few verses when in chapter 1, verse 8, when Naomi was on her way back, we've said how Orpah ended up kissing her mother-in-law, going back to Moab, and Ruth clung to Naomi. And she goes on to say what's probably one of the most well-known passages in the book of Ruth, and it's in verse 16 of chapter 1, and if you'll read it with me, it says, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Now, this was no small statement to Ruth for Ruth to make. It was about as committed as you can possibly get. She knew that staying with Naomi meant she'd have a very hard and difficult life. She'd be leaving her family, her home, everyone she knew. She'd be going to a foreign country where she would be an outcast, a Gentile in a Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. She would likely have to work very hard, as she would be the provider with no male provider. They're both widows. She was a very young age, and if she went back to Moab, it was likely that she could marry again and have children. But coming with Naomi would mean that she was very unlikely to get married, as being a Gentile, a Moabite especially, in Israel, it was very unlikely for her to get married. And knowing all of these things, she said to Naomi that your God will be my God. She made a vow of commitment to Naomi and to the God of Israel. And that's very important. She showed her character. She showed how she had a dedication and commitment to Naomi, and ultimately what great faith she had in the God of Israel. Having counted the cost, Ruth was willing to give it all up to follow the Lord. Now notice, this is the exact opposite of what we just saw that Elimelech had done. When he had seen a bleak future, he didn't know how he was going to feed his family. Instead of turning to God and looking to God in spite of the difficult times, he fled and he went to do his own will. And he ended up with even less. And the family, the sons, and himself, they lost their life. You see, when we're in God's will, no matter how hard it can be and no matter how tough it gets, ultimately when we look to him and we seek him, he is the one that is going to take care of us. He is the one that's going to work out these impossible things that look ahead that we cannot possibly see. How in the world is this mess going to work out for good? And he is able to do that. Let's continue to look at Ruth and see what happens in her life. So Ruth and Naomi arrive in Bethlehem, and it just so happens to be the beginning of the barley season. Now, it was up to Ruth to provide for herself and Naomi. There was no one else that was going to provide for them. So she went to the fields to glean some grain from the harvest. Now, there was a law in Israel that fields weren't allowed to be stripped clean from the harvest. They had to leave some behind so that the poor, the needy, the widows could come behind and get food for themselves. And so that's exactly what Ruth planned to do. Now, there's a very interesting verse in chapter 2 that really stuck out to me, and I want you to read it with me. It's in chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech." Now, to some, they might think, what a great coincidence. As you know the story, Boaz ends up being Ruth's husband, but not to spoil the end if you didn't know. But some might think, what a great coincidence. Here she is just going about her hard labor, and she happens to come to this field that's owned by Boaz. Now, you and I know that with God, there are no great coincidences. This was nothing less than a divine appointment by God and a sign of the Lord's providence at work, as he does in our lives each and every day. Now, you see, when we put the Lord first in our lives, no matter how they're planning out to be, like look at Ruth. There she was. She'd lost her husband. She had no family, no children. She's in a foreign country facing a life of hard labor and poverty. And yet during the course of her life, during her hard work, during her commitment, as she was doing her daily things, necessities for life, the Lord just happened to bring her to the part of the field that belonged to Boaz. Now, most of the time in our lives, the Lord supernaturally leads us in very natural ways. Sometimes we can want leading and direction by miraculous signs in the sky. And yet, for the most part, the Lord says, as you're looking to me and seeking me, I will very naturally, but supernaturally, be leading you in the path that you are to go. And the Lord really spoke to my husband and I about this very thing not too long ago when we were reading, and we read My Utmost for His Highest at the moment this year, going through Oswald Chambers' book, and we read this quote. It says, you have no business trying to find out where God is leading. The only thing God will explain to you is himself. And the Lord really spoke to my husband and I and showed us that, you know, sometimes we can be so concerned with how our lives are going to plan out, and we don't understand why he allowed this, or he can't explain, he's not explaining to us his reasons for doing things. You know, God, we have no business asking the Lord to explain himself to us. God is the Almighty God. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. His plan is the best way. And he's proved it over and over again. And sometimes we need to not get so caught up in seeking direction from God, but we need to seek God himself, who is the director. And he will direct us and he will lead us. You know, in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, that famous passage, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It's a promise. It's a promise from God. Now, that's not to say there's anything wrong with praying and asking the Lord to confirm things that he's brought into your path. Should I do this? Should I not? There's nothing wrong with asking and seeking the Lord, but it's not something that as we go through life and as if we're seeking him and trusting him and something comes in our path and we don't like it, we can't just throw our hands up and ask God to take it away, explain it, explain himself. God knows what's going on. He knows what's best for us. And sometimes we just need to sit back and let the Lord do the work that he intends to do, because his plans are perfect and he has a purpose in everything. Now, Ruth's character and Ruth's commitment and dedication became known in all of the land, even to Boaz. In chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, this is what Boaz has to say upon meeting Ruth. It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So this was the reputation that she had in the land. She was a Moabite. She was an outcast. And yet because of her commitment, her dedication, she was a hard worker. Of everything that she had done, she had built this reputation in the land of Israel. Now, there was a law of Moses that stated that when a man died childless, a close relative was to marry the widow, and so that they could carry on the family name or any land. And Boaz was this close relative to Ruth. And Naomi told Ruth this and told Ruth to go and tell Boaz. Now, when Ruth made Boaz aware that he could be her kinsman redeemer, the one that could redeem her after her husband died, this is what Boaz says. It's in chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Then Boaz said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning. in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." So Ruth was this virtuous woman. She had this reputation in the land. And instead of arriving in Israel and trying to find whoever she could to marry her, to save her from this life of hard labor and poverty, she didn't do any of that. She just sat back, she sought the Lord, she sought his face, and yet during that course of her life, the Lord brought Boaz to her, and Boaz acknowledged this. And for all of you single ladies out there, I just want to tell you something. I would love to tell you the story of my husband and I, but I can't because I don't have time. But it is exact story of like how Ruth and Boaz just happened to meet. And you see, there are so many things in that story of how my husband and I met, how we actually met here out when there was a big tent because the sanctuary was being refurbished. And I wasn't supposed to be there that night. I was supposed to be somewhere else, but I'd met Brian Brodison, and he's like, "Come on, it's the first night of the tent. Why don't you just come?" And I was just on holiday by myself and my brother. And so we came. We weren't supposed to come. And then we were standing outside meeting somebody that was ended up being late instead of sitting inside. And all these different things is on and on and on have happened of how we ended up meeting my husband. And I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't intending on looking for a husband. I was actually kind of tired and jet-lagged and ready to leave. And it's a long story, but what happens in our lives, the best thing that you can do as a single woman is to seek the Lord, to put him first, to walk in the path that he's set before you, to work hard, to be a woman of virtue. And during the course of your life, as you seek him, the Lord will bring that person into your life. He did it right here. He did it with me. He's done it. I've seen it over and over. We don't have to worry. We don't have to stress. Why have you not brought him yet? This is too long. And I'm going to go out and get one for myself. That is like the biggest mistake that you could possibly do. And so take example of Ruth, how she waited, and she just was not seeking after the things that would make her own life easier and better and more enjoyable. She was seeking providing for her mother-in-law. She was committed to her mother-in-law and committed to God. And then God brings Boaz, who would be her kinsman redeemer, who would be the one that would save her out of this life of poverty. Boaz was a very wealthy man. He'd stayed in Israel and the Lord had blessed him. He'd had fields which were harvesting plenty, and he was wealthy. God had blessed him. He was kind. He showed compassion on Ruth when she was at the fields and he didn't know who she was. He was a compassionate man. He was a loving man, and he's a man that noticed the virtues in Ruth. He noticed what her character was, and that is what he sought. And he said that he would be the one that would be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. And so Ruth was blessed abundantly with this husband. She was coming from the land of Moab to a life that looked terrible and had no prospects. And the Lord honored her faithfulness to him, and he blessed her above all that she could ask or imagine. And that's what he does in our lives when we give our lives to him. Now, not only was Ruth blessed with a wonderful husband, she had a child named Obed, who would be the father of Jesse, who would be the father of David and King David. And King David, this was the line of Jesus Christ, that Jesus would be born. And I think it's interesting that she was saved out of Moab, as it were, and turned to God and went to Bethlehem. And that is where the Lord showed her his redeeming grace in blessing her with Boaz. And I think it's no great small coincidence that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he was born to be our redeemer, to save us out of our lives of death and to give us new life and to give us a life of blessings and a life of hope and a life that may have its difficulties and may have its trials, but he is working in and through us something that is far greater than any of us could even ask or imagine. Now, this morning, maybe you're going through a season of hardship and you really are just tired and you're weary and you feel like you can't do it anymore. Don't lose heart. Ruth was a great example of how she didn't grow weary while doing good. She did a lot of good, and the Lord knew that, and he blessed her for it. It says, for in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And that is a promise for you and I today, if we would just trust in the Lord and seek him and put him first. You know, sometimes it involves a great sacrifice or a great surrendering of our will. In fact, it always does. It always involves a surrender of our will, because we always think we know best for ourselves until we get to a point where we realize we've made a big mess of things. And yet God says he can even work the greatest messes that we've made in our lives and work them for good if we love him and we're called according to his purpose. But maybe there's something in your life that you just feel like you're in the waiting room right now, the really, really hard waiting room. And, you know, there's a great verse that I loved that Naomi shared with Ruth before she knew how things were going to turn out with Boaz. In chapter 3, verse 18, it says, Ruth says to Naomi, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out." Sometimes we just have to sit still. There's nothing more that we can do. And we just have to give it up to the Lord. And he is the one that can take something and turn it, take nothing and turn it into something. He created the world out of nothing. He can create something out of nothing. He can work, create love in a marriage where you feel like there is no love anymore and I just want to jump ship. But you know that God does not, God hates divorce. And there are so many things that the Lord tells us to do that when we look at our own lives, we think, but that's so hard. That's so hard to do. But if you honor the Lord, you're true to him, you obey him, he is going to see you through and he's going to bless you. The Lord says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you became our Redeemer to redeem us out of our sinful lives and bring us into a relationship with you so that we can have an eternity with you. Lord, I want to pray for every woman here today, Lord, that they would know your love for them, that you want to pour out your grace upon them, that, Lord, you died on the cross so that they could be saved from their sin. And Lord, for those that feel like they've tried to do it on their own, they feel maybe like they've moved to Moab, and yet things are really going wrong, Lord, we know that you are that Redeemer. You can take those things that we have messed up in our lives and you can turn them for good. And so, Lord, I pray that any woman that's in that position, Lord, she would turn back to you. She would seek you as the land of Israel did, and you blessed them. And Lord, Ruth turned to you, and I pray, Lord, that every woman in this room would know that they too can have that same blessing and that same abundant life in you. And Lord, I pray for any woman here that's having a difficult situation and they're struggling and they're weary, Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength that they need, Lord, that you would see them through the trial and the difficulty. Lord, I pray that they would wait on you, that they would seek you, Lord, and that you would do that work that you plan and that you purpose in and through it, Lord, the reason that they are having this trial or difficulty. And that, Lord, you would bring them out the other end into a great abundant blessing. Lord, and I thank you so much that we have this woman, Ruth, as an example. Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts from this book and from this woman, that we would learn to be those women of virtue, those women that seek you above all else, no matter how hard it might be for our own lives, that we would sacrifice, that we would take up our cross, Lord, that we would follow you with all our hearts. Help us to do that, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.